Okay. When you think about it, 170 million Americans have received one injection. I think it's over 150 now is the total that they refer to as fully vaccinated. And all of those people are in trouble to one degree or another. And we've seen already in Russia and in Spain how vaccinated people are being prevented from flying. And just a month ago, many were running out to get injected so they could fly. Well, this is apparently going to spread to other countries besides Spain here in the West. Don't be surprised if it doesn't show up here. Now, if the vaxxed are prevented from flying, the unvaxxed, well, first of all, people are going to lie. How are you going to know? No, I'm not vaxxed. The person got two shots. The unvaxxed do not want to be confined in a small area or a large area, for that matter, with vaccinated people. Now, this is an issue we have spent a lot of time on. We're going to spend more time on that tonight. There are several areas I want to get into in some depth, try to give you as much information as we can with Erica Kahn, who is here this evening. We're going to try and do 2 hours on this. There's that much going on. It's quite remarkable. One of the things that Erica is able to do, and it's very important, she is monitoring social media groups. Now, people with various types of symptoms and syndromes after being vaxxed, and people who have just been around the vaxxed, they're not vaccinated, are reporting, and these groups are online, and she's able to really monitor that. And it's a great scientific aid because we don't have access to what they, the other side of this blackness, have contrived. We have to put it together by deduction, by synthesizing the information we have and holding it up to be measured against what we do know in terms of vaccines and what they've done with these things. I don't think we're at the bottom of the barrel yet. I think other things are about to be discovered and are out there right now. It's the spike protein, yes, but there are other combinations of the spike protein and other things that may be running around as well. Chimeras, that's if you've got a virus that happens to link up with a spike protein that you may have gotten from somebody in the supermarket, that could become an organism in and of itself, and that could be shed by you. Look, this is a little bit of a stretch, but not much, because we just don't know. We're trying to piece this together as we move through it, and we're all moving through it together, vaccinated and otherwise. So, Erica, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Jeff. It's good to be back.
It is crazy out there. And every day I see something new, I see something different, I hear something new. I don't know how much more we have to learn, but I do get the feeling we're not at the bottom of the barrel by a long shot yet. How do you see it?
I agree. We are starting to see more side effects in people who are just being in proximity, having to be around people who have been vaxxed. They're getting sick, and people's pets are now getting sick. I mean, we mentioned the woman whose cat came into contact with
right.
a vaxxed
right.
person last week,
mm-hmm.
and the cat subsequently died. It had blood clots and pneumonia in its lungs. I've since heard of a local acquaintance of mine whose dog is having trouble breathing, and his owner was recently vaxxed. They're hoping or thinking it's just kennel cough.
Please.
We'll see if the dog gets better with the typical round of antibiotics.
Was the dog in a kennel? No.
No.
Probably not.
I'd
like to hang that tag on any kind of an upper respiratory problem that the dogs get. I've heard it for years. I used to own pet stores, and I used to hear that all the time.
You know, pets becoming ill after being in proximity with vaxxed people, and now I'm hearing stories of, we've heard the stories of people all along, but the symptoms seem to be becoming more severe. Several issues of fluid on the lungs, just from being around vax people.
Okay, let me stop you there just for a moment. What we're talking about, if you just tuned in late, Erica joined us an hour early tonight because William Gein was not available. So we're going to do a lot of very interesting conversation about what's going on. And we're talking about the idea of being around people who have been vaccinated and the transmission or shedding, if you will, from them to you and others. And my question has often been, and I'll just let me pose it again for all of you out there, to Erica. Are people who have become ill by being around people who have been vaccinated, are they getting better or are they getting worse or is it some of both? What are you hearing? And you just started to get into one story. So go ahead.
Yeah, I think we can take a good lesson from many of these practitioners and clinicians that have been forced to see vaccinated people just by virtue of their work. And many of these clinicians and practitioners have gotten sick in the past several months that since the vaccine has been rolled out. And they get better when they're able to get away from or take a break from seeing vax people. And many have since instituted policies where they are having to ask patients who have been vaxxed to wait at least 2 months before they come into the office. And that seems to work. If these people are able, these clinicians and medical practitioners are able to minimize their contact with vax people, their symptoms go away and they do get better. So that's encouraging. It means it's a transient toxicity.
For them. But on the other hand, the vax people will come back in still shedding, still possibly transmitting. We don't know. So they may be becoming sick again. And when you say sick, what are you hearing or what are you reading about the types of illnesses that the unvaxxed who have to come into contact or proximity with vaccinated people, what kind of illnesses are they manifesting? What are you hearing? What are you reading?
It seems like a flu, or a really, really bad flu. They're tired, they're nauseous, they're gastrointestinal issues. There are cases where their skin is breaking out in weird rashes, you know, as if the body's trying to purge something.
Well, what could that be then? The spike protein, I don't know that I've heard it being necessarily looked at in terms of causing flu-like symptoms, but couldn't that be the mRNA that the body might be throwing off too, a real
virus? Well, if it's coming out in the form of exosomes, yeah. But, you know, we still don't know how the body is handling the spike proteins that are being produced in the vaxxed. And if that's indeed what's being produced, maybe it's something else. But let's assume, for argument's sake, that it is the spike protein or bits and pieces of the spike protein. And these are able to leave the vaccinated person and enter into the environment through aerosols. And it also appears that they are able to exit through the skin. So there is transfer through touch. But let's take the example of maybe poison ivy. Now, poison ivy is not in and of itself toxic, but it has something in it called urushiol, which is a hapten. Mm-hmm. A hapten is a tiny, tiny molecule that on its own doesn't do anything, but when it gets into the body and it links up with a protein, the immune system sees it and starts to react to it. It becomes an irritant. Is it conceivable that these people are pushing out something like a hapten? And so who's ever around these people, that you breathe it in? I mean, you know, if you burn poison ivy and you inhale that smoke, you can have systemic poison ivy. You'll break out all over.
Okay, so patient, vaccinated person A could be throwing out spike protein, hapten, and God only knows how many other things. There could be a whole raft of things that are being exuded.
So let's just say it's this little spike protein or some portion of it you breathe it in or you get it on your skin, your immune system sees it. And then, you know, just like in the case of poison ivy, it recognizes it. And then the next time you get exposed to it, you know, you're sensitized, and then you start forming blisters because, you know, 90% of the population has that kind of reaction to it. It's just very, very irritating. And so, you know, every time from then on out that you encounter this, let's call it a hapten, you're going to react. You know, it's in your bloodstream. It's coursing through your vessels and irritating your immune system. You're going to have a reaction, and then it takes time. I mean, how long does it take you to get over a poison ivy rash? A week?
Right. All right. So let's say you got a doctor or a naturopath who sees patients, and he or she has become sick as hell with a flu-like issue. We cannot. And remember, all of you out there listening, we're trying to piece this together from the outside. We don't know what the controllers know, but we're doing a pretty darn good job of it. These people are getting real sick. Is that a spike protein kind of a response that you're seeing when people get injected? Are they getting the flu? Is the same kind of an illness profile? See what I'm saying?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, people feel crummy. That's what we know. Are we seeing blood clots in, let's say, the unvaxxed? I don't think so. I think we're just seeing. By the same token, though, we have to remember these women that are unvaxxed who are coming into contact with the vax, and they're having these bleeding issues. In some cases, losing pregnancies.
Enormous clots are being reported, and these are clots. So
there is there's a poisoning of the blood. Now, what's doing the poisoning?
Said. Yeah.
You know, it could be the spike protein, and now we have this additional consideration with these magnetite nanoparticles, possibly.
All right, I'm going to get in that in just a second. I just want to go back to the spike protein thing. If your body has been genetically altered or with the adenovirus infected to produce the spike protein, as allegedly the number one prime directive, so your immune system will learn it, allegedly without having necessarily to become infected with the coronavirus, that was the con job in the beginning. The problem is, if your body is producing the spike protein around the clock, nonstop, we still don't know if that's going to stop over time. We don't know if that's permanent. It would be suggestive that if it's a genetic alteration that is causing your body to produce these spike proteins, that it's permanent. We don't know. Is it going to just fade away? Will your genes sort of automatically seek to reset themselves after 3 or 4 or 6 months? We don't know any of these things. We have to watch and tally everything up, which is what we're trying to do. So let me go and ask you again, what are you seeing online? The pet thing is a real problem. The one owner, he was vaxxed. His dog is obviously showing a response. Are we finding people who have been just unvaxxed and exposed, bringing that and passing it along to a second generation of people? There's the first one, unvaxxed, you know.
Yes, I have seen reports of that, you know, secondary
that's
exposures being able to transmit, yes.
Not good.
I mean, this is just anecdotal, observational. It's, you know, this is not a real study, but that's just, it seems to be happening.
Right. Okay, what other things are you seeing out there? We've talked in the past about females and female reproductive problems. Is that still a mainline event out there in social media?
Oh, that's ongoing, yes. That is absolutely ongoing. There is stuff coming out of fertility clinics where couples that were previously fertile are no longer. The eggs or the sperm can't fertilize the eggs, much less, you know, create an embryo to take hold. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a given now. If the couple has had the vaccine, that it's game over in terms of conception. Another worrisome thing is a study came out looking at the biodistribution of the Pfizer vaccine, which uses lipid nanoparticles, and they determined that the main targets or endpoints for these lipid nanoparticles were not the muscle as they had hoped or told everybody. I find it hard to believe that they didn't know that these things were going to go systemic once they were injected.
The musculature is very vascular. They're nuts to try and push that off on people who know.
Well, and Moderna had done a study on a version of its flu vaccine using lipid nanoparticles a few years ago, and they did a biodistribution study in rats or mice, and it showed very clearly it didn't stay in the area where the vaccine was administered. It went systemic. Now, what they do is they'll inject the animal, and then they wait a period of time, and then there's a protein in there that will fluoresce, and they can see where the stuff ends up.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pfizer, for this current vaccine, at least as far as mice and rats go, the overwhelming majority of the lipid nanoparticles ended up in the liver, the spleen, and the ovaries. The ovaries accumulated an inordinate amount of this material, which is worrisome. I mean, and conversely, the counterpart in males, the testes, hardly accumulated any. But is it any wonder that women are having problems following these vaccines?
Okay. Now, here's the giveaway for me. Somebody gets an injection at one of these centers, and they watch them for 20 minutes, and they have, some paramedics standing by, just in case. Now, we've seen stories of, was one in Orange County, a 72-year-old woman who took the shot. She didn't even make it through 15 minutes. She fell over dead. There are many people who get the shot and they go home and they have a raging headache. Now, doesn't that right away tell us that the vaccine is circulated around the body almost instantaneously? It just goes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So this thing, it's going to stay concentrated in the muscle. That's why we're doing it in the shoulder. It's crap. They're lying to us. All the time they lie to us.
Yeah, they've known this for some time. It does not stay local. Although, you know, this may be why they are apparently adding these magnetic nanoparticles now to these most recent batches. One of the purposes of adding that magnetite nanoparticle should help, it'll make the contents of the vaccine less apt to react with the components in the blood. And hopefully, I want to believe they're thinking that it will increase the local uptake of the vaccine and keep it from going systemic and having these off-target effects.
Man, I just
if that's
don't
their
see how
intention
can,
or not, I don't know, but that's a possibility.
As a layman, I don't see how that makes any sense. The blood circulation is so fast. When you put something into your bloodstream, it circulates through the entire body in less than 60 seconds. I think it's like 10 seconds. It's going at that rate of a speed, fast. It's moving very quickly.
Well, they know comparatively when they do use the magnetite nanoparticles in a vaccine, the cells that are transfected at the injection site begin to produce the protein immediately, like within a minute, 2 minutes. I mean, it just...
Which protein?
Well, whatever protein's being coded for.
Okay.
So the mRNA gets uptaken by the cells. The machinery in the cell reads it and starts producing a protein immediately.
Huh.
Whereas when they don't use the magnetite, it takes, you know, it might take an hour to start producing. So I that may be what they are attempting to do, but who knows? There's so much out there on the use of magnetic nanoparticles to do all kinds of things, not the least of which is control brain behavior, neural circuitry, remotely.
This is in the literature. And she's not just reading this on social media. We've switched to scientific
papers.
There are
published studies.
Right. This is well known. All right.
But
I get the feeling. Go ahead.
Adding these magnetite nanoparticles, because of the fact they're so oxidative, they cause horrendous oxidative stress.
Crazy. Bad.
Age people prematurely.
All right, let me get into that. We have to take a break here in just a minute. But the idea that they're tweaking these batches, tracking them. I don't think there's any stability over the long haul from where they started out. I think they've done a lot of things to change them. Is that a fair projection?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Okay, hold on a minute. You heard Erica mention aging and these magnetic particles. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. It's fascinating. Then we're going to get on into Alzheimer's, mad cow disease, prions, and much more. Try and bring you up to date to give you the latest and best information that we have. Be right back. Hold on. Okay, let's get right back to our conversation with Erica Kahn about the issues that are facing all of us, all around the world. Wherever you are listening right now, you're facing the same sorts of things that we're talking about. A newspaper, Bravo, called the Irish Light. Not a huge circulation paper, but it's telling the truth now. Their headline is, Vaccine Deaths Soar. And let's hope more people join. We're doing our best here. It's good to see that. We'll put that up in headlines as well. Now, Erica mentioned something about premature aging or getting old. Now, this apparently is tied into the amount of iron in your bloodstream and your body. Iron is a supplement that most people don't want to take. A normal diet will give you plenty. Now, what is it about iron and the potential of growing old too soon or faster than we should that you've come across? What do you think?
Well, iron is a well-known oxidizer. I mean, you'd require it for transporting oxygen in and around the body, using it for various physiological processes. You know, you've got iron in your hemoglobin that binds to oxygen, and that's what carries, allows you, your part of what allows oxygen to
be taken to the cells. Of course, if you don't have enough iron, you don't bind to the oxygen, and the red blood cells run around empty, so to speak.
Yeah, so and you've got another set of heme proteins that it's called the cytochromes that are essential for your mitochondria and also for, and that would be for making ATP and also for detoxification. I mean, oxidation is one means the body uses to detoxify. So iron is critical, but you want it to be bound. You know, free iron in the body will oxidize all your biomolecules and cause premature aging. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that isn't some part of what this disease is they're calling COVID. It was speculated early on that rather than a virus, this may actually be the result of exposure to 60 gigahertz frequencies coming off of 5G, because that will knock off or release the oxygen from the heme and free up the iron, and then suddenly you're gasping for air.
Wow. So they put the little thing on your thumb to check your oxygen level, and it's way down. And that
right. That was one of the happy hypoxia is what they called it. I mean, you don't know it's happening till suddenly you can't breathe. You feel like you're at altitude, and you've got blue fingers and toes. So there's some tie in with iron in this clinical presentation they're calling COVID. And the fact that so many people now are able to use their bodies as a magnet and stick metallic objects onto them and have them stay there, so something's happening with iron. Now, iron dysregulation is implicated in hormonal disorders, cardiac disorders, liver disorders, gastrointestinal disorders, muscle aches, pains, joint pains. If you've got too much free iron, it's doing a lot of damage. So where is this iron coming from? Is it part of this spike protein? Is the spike protein a carrier for iron?
Oh, that would be amazing. It could be.
I mean, let's be clear. Ferrous.
Go ahead.
Ferrous oxide is Fe3O4, is also known as magnetite. And you have a little bit of that in your brain, naturally occurring, but it's very different from anything that you would get from aerosols, like chemtrails or in the food. And there is some chatter right now going around saying that meat is contaminated with either spike proteins and magnetite or just magnetite, because people are able to take a slab of steak, a raw slab of steak, and stick a magnet to it and stays there.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, hold on. What is that? How could that be being done to the meat that we're, let's say red meat. All right. How could that be being done? Are the cattle and the feedlots being fed a different diet? And don't laugh, everyone, because remember what they did to the European human population when they were invaded 4 or 5 years ago by all the sub-Saharan black Africans and the Muslims. And the Europeans didn't do too much. And it was finally revealed that the powers that be were loading dairy products with the hormone oxytocin, which makes people feel really relaxed and fuzzy and happy and no worries, no defensive thinking at all. They're just laid back. They were actually dosing the population of Western Europe with dairy products, yogurt, ice cream, milk. They were putting oxytocin. There's a little bit in there anyhow, but they were loading it up. And they were drugging the entire population of Western Europe, that part of it that consumes dairy at any rate. That's been done. That's a known issue. So what would they do here to us in the U.S., which, as we know, is about to suffer, if the Deagle projections are correct, the biggest population loss next to Great Britain in the next 3.5 years? Britain is going from around 70 million allegedly down to 14 million people in the next 3.5 years, if the Deagle projections are correct. We're going from 325 million down to 99 million. The original Deagle projection for this country was 54 million, but for some reason, that number was raised to 99 million. Your guess is as good as ours. But how could they be giving all this extra iron or magnetite to red meat animals, I guess in their feed, the feed lots?
That would be logical. It would be. Either way, people, I think a good portion of the population is suffering from iron overload right now. Now, iron overload, as I said, you know, causes a whole range of different conditions. Interestingly, the black fungus or black mold that is occurring in India, supposedly as a result of being weakened by COVID, is actually a type of fungus that thrives in bodies that have iron overload.
Now, you found that out yourself, didn't you? Because I've never seen that anywhere.
Yes. I mean, bacteria and some fungi need certain conditions to grow, and iron feeds bacteria.
I've seen pictures of this black mold in India, and it is horrific.
And they say one of the treatments, the effective treatment for that fungus, which can be fatal, this is no joke. This is not just a black toenail. This is a fungus that overtakes you. But the treatment is iron chelation. You think they're being offered iron chelation?
Interesting. How would they chelate iron?
There are chemical chelators that either intravenous or some, I believe, are oral. Desferoxamine is typically what they would use to chelate iron.
Huh.
But that is a treatment for that black fungus that is afflicting much of India.
If you want to see something horrible, all of you, just, and some of you are in India, you already know this, but for the rest of you, look up black fungus in India, or black fungus disease in India, and then
it's called mucormycosis.
Easy for you to say. All right. This is another potential aspect to this whole fake pandemic. And now the truth of the matter is it's the spike pandemic. And what else is with the spike? We don't know. But things are going on here that may be being changed as this whole thing progresses. Maybe it's a staged event, and now it's time for black mold. I don't know. If they're pumping up the iron in meat, that's very interesting. I've got a magnet, and I don't go in the meat department, but I'm going to make a fierce effort to go into the meat department and try my magnet on some of these meat products and see if anything happens. It's getting weirder all the time. Magnetic meat. Okay. All right. 20% off, right? Here we go. Let's go into the brain issue now. I've got two stories up today, and then I have the video, which I'm going to play probably after the top of the hour. That's at the top of the homepage. It's only 5 minutes long, and many of you have seen it, but I looked at it three times. I wanted to be sure I got as much as I could out of it. This is from somebody named Ethan Huff on News Target. New research from the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio has determined that the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, and its associated vaccines, especially the four that are being used here in the West, can lead to severe brain changes associated with dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Cognitive disorders are increasingly being reported as a, quote, complication, end quote, from the Chinese virus. But the reality is that the injections are the virus, meaning the injections are what is causing the brain damage. Reports of neurological complications in COVID-19 patients and long hauler patients whose symptoms persist after the infection clears are becoming more common. Neurological complications, suggesting that the virus and the vaccines may have lasting effects on brain function. So we need to talk about spike proteins, and that we have that autopsy. Let's mention that autopsy too. That was really critical, whenever you want to, but spike proteins going to the brain, it's an automatic. That's happening. We know that now. This is real bad. We've got dementia, we've got Alzheimer's, and we have prions, mad cow. So if this isn't war on humankind, I don't know what is. I really don't. This is crazy. All right, take us through it here. You want to talk about the autopsy first, go right ahead.
That was so this is a study that was published just this month. And it's the title of it is First Case of Post-Mortem Study in a Patient Vaccinated Against SARS-CoV-2. And it details the story of an 86-year-old gentleman who was living in a nursing home, got the vaccine, got one dose of Pfizer, and began to go downhill shortly thereafter. He was admitted to a hospital. He tested negative upon admission and was put into a room where apparently his roommate at some point tested positive. But anyway, this gentleman sadly expired after about 4 or 5 weeks being in the hospital suffering ill effects from the vaccine, and he died of pneumonia and kidney failure. So they took the opportunity, I'm not sure who commissioned this, but they did an autopsy on him, and they sampled 9 organs or tissues, and every single one of those organs and tissues was saturated with spike protein.
That's appalling. That is absolutely appalling, and it should scare everyone listening. It's.
I mean, it was liver, kidneys, lungs, the mouth, the heart. So
there was an
organs.
Oral component. That's interesting in the mouth.
Yes.
Now remember, he got the shot, and what did the shot do? The shot instructs the body to produce nonstop spike proteins. So his body was drowning in spike proteins, which migrated to his major organs. You have to ask yourself, well, how did that happen? Nonetheless, he was dead, and we're not seeing, by the way, very many autopsy results posted for COVID deaths at all. I wonder how many autopsies are even being done on COVID deaths, real COVID deaths. Anyway, go ahead with this. This and the brain and the heart and the liver and the kidneys, all the major organs attacked by the spike protein and obviously overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I guess the only gray area is, where did the spike proteins originate from? Were those tissues that were positive for spike protein producing the spike protein themselves? Had they been transfected by the mRNA in the vaccine? Or possibly could the liver have been churning out copious amounts of this protein and then letting it into circulation, and then, you know, wherever they go, they go. Maybe both. But we know that the lipid nanoparticle vaccine, and even the adenovector vaccine, they have a tendency to go to the liver. And the liver, once it gets a hold of these, starts reading the instructions and churning out copious amounts of spike protein.
Well, the liver is where...
And the liver is the biggest filtration organ in the body.
Right,
so,
right,
you know, the
right.
blood circulates through there multiple times a minute. So it picks up and delivers all kinds of things.
Okay. This particular story about brain issues, Alzheimer's, mad cow, that would suggest that there has to be prion involvement somewhere. I'm not sure. Now, you mentioned that Lewy bodies are linked to Alzheimer's. That's a different,
Parkinson's. It's a form of Parkinson's.
Okay. All right.
So Parkinson's is involved in or associated with a malfunction in a protein called alpha-synuclein, which is produced by the substantia nigra, which produces your dopamine. Dopamine is responsible for mood and motivation and movement. So one of the things we're seeing anecdotally in people who have been vaxxed is some develop a sense of apathy and flat
mood change,
yes, lack of motivation, blank staring, inability to feel or just have joy in living life.
Now, these are vaxxed
apathetic
people. These are vaxxed people.
Yes.
So far.
Now, some have speculated that, oh, well, it's you know, they're going after the GAW gene, you know, the VMAT2 gene. And maybe they are, maybe they're not. That's been talked about. But more likely, the brain has been poisoned by these nanoparticles, the lipid nanoparticles, the iron oxide nanoparticles, and now this mRNA and subsequent spike protein. The brain is toxified.
How is the... And there's no chelation for that we know about. How can the average person understand, how does the spike protein allegedly go into the body? Is it attached to or embedded within that single-strand mRNA and covered by the nanolipids and then the PEG on top of that?
No.
How does the spike protein get into the body?
There is no spike protein at all in the vaccine. The only thing that's in the vaccine is the genetic code.
To make it. Got it.
Yes. And so your body makes the spike protein.
Right away.
Yeah, minutes to hours. Yep. And they now know, there was another study that came out this week where this was out of Brigham and Women's in Boston. Harvard University, they took 13 people who had been vaxxed, and they analyzed their blood plasma for the presence of spike protein. Mm-hmm. And within the first 48 hours, there was a huge surge of spike protein following the vaccine. And it wasn't the full spike protein, it was just the S1, which is the little cap on top of the stalk. So this little tiny piece of protein, and this is the one that seems to be the most problematic, the one that can dock onto the ACE2 receptor and cause all kinds of harm, the one that floats around the bloodstream and interacts with integrins and causes clotting. And so there was quite a few of that. And then 2 weeks later, which would be around the time where the immune system would have identified the cells that had been transfected, and now they've got to destroy those cells, get rid of them because they're compromised. This is called apoptotic debris. These are dead and dying cells that the body's trying to get rid of, that it's contaminated with this foreign genetic material and foreign proteins. So at 2 weeks, they were able to isolate full-length spike protein from this apoptotic debris in these people's plasma.
Full-length spike protein.
Yes.
Would that be the whole stalk and then the cap on top of it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So the initial surge in protein was just that S1. They didn't know whether or not the transfected cells would release the proteins that they were producing, but they did confirm that, yes, that first round of production, the S1 portion of the spike protein does leave the cell and go systemic.
That's got to be the plan. And then later on, the full protein is created and as a second stage?
Well, it would have been created inside of the cell, and now the cell is getting destroyed and you know, eaten up by the white blood cells and taken to the spleen to be disposed of. But, you know, during that time, it's passing through lymph and blood, and so you other organs and tissues will see it. I mean, it has to go through the body's filtration system to be disposed of, and that would be the liver, the kidneys, the spleen, the bone marrow. I mean, go ahead.
How successful is the body at getting rid of this?
It depends on the individual. I mean, this is why we're seeing, in some cases, splenomegaly, people with these enlarged spleens, because they can't get rid of the apoptotic debris fast enough, and it starts building up.
Wow. All right, now we're talking about, just to keep everybody on the same page, we're talking about vaccinated people or injected people, all right? We're not talking about the unvaxxed here. Then this person who was autopsied, how many other autopsy reports have you seen of people who obviously died in all likelihood because of the injection they got? How many others? I've not seen one.
None. There were some last year of people who had supposedly died of COVID, and they did autopsy, and that's how they knew this stuff gets into the brain. They were finding fragments of the so-called virus in the brain.
Wow. Okay. But this gentleman who died was loaded with spike. In other words, whatever immune system he had left wasn't able to create antibodies to take these spike proteins off the table to any extent that mattered at all. He was overwhelmed, overrun. And maybe his immune system wasn't even able to make antibodies to go after the spike protein. Maybe his immune system was just beaten up and that was it. It was done. So he died of a tsunami of spike proteins. Is that a fair statement, a guess?
Yeah, he had kidney failure and he had pneumonia.
All right, hold on a minute, and we will be back with another hour. We're going to take another look at the Alzheimer's, mad cow issue, the prion issue, and some other questions as well. So stay tuned, and we'll be back.